Okay, so first of all, boys, I just want to tell you, it's so beautiful, Baruch Hashem, to see our Beis Medrash come alive a little bit. I hope, I asked Rabbi Grossberg for Roshus to be able to do this. I hope that Amir Hashem, this is something that maybe we could do even like on a weekly basis with different topics. Amir Hashem, the opportunity to prepare sources with your Rebbeim and then get together, Amir Hashem, to learn a little bit together. So today I want to focus a little bit on the topic of Sukkot, see from the Maamar Koma. So let's do a little bit of a quick review. I'm sure I didn't give you enough time to get through all of the sources, but hopefully at least you saw some of the sources. So a little bit of a quick review. So first of all, the first page you saw, Gemara Maseches Sukkah. What's the fundamental machlokis contained in the Gemara? Who knows? Fundamental machlokis. What is Sukkis, right? Why do we sit in a Sukkah? What are the two opinions? Number one? Excellent. What are Ananiah covered?
The glory clouds.
The glory clouds. Excellent. Good. Excellent. Who provided the glory clouds? Hashem. Beautiful. So one idea the Gemara says, so Adoni HaKavod, the Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Halacha Lamaisa, we sit in the Sukkah to commemorate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu housed us in clouds. How long did HaKadosh Baruch Hu house us in clouds for? How long?
40 years.
40 years. Excellent. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two.
Akiva says it's because like, we built huts.
Excellent. Excellent. Rabbi Akiva, we built huts. How long did we live in huts for?
40 years.
40 years, right? Either way, remember again, the duration of the miracle or the duration of the event is the same, right? But Lamaisa, the Shaila is when we sit in the Sukkah. And by the way, boys, before we even go on, why is this important? Well, in other words, you'll say to yourself, who cares? Like, sit in the Sukkah. What does it matter if it's because of the clouds of Anani Yaakovot or Sukkos Mamish? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Anyone know?
To know why we celebrate Sukkah.
Excellent. So let's take this a little further. To know why we celebrate Sukkos. Chavon, let me just ask you, totally side. Anyone ever hear of the machlokes of mitzvos tzrichos kavana? Anyone ever hear that phrase before? Mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Shmoy?
Doesn't Shema, you have that in mind?
Good. What does the phrase mean? Mitzvos tzrichos kavana.
You need to have kavana.
Good. Excellent. By the way, what's the glove? What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's your, okay, I just didn't know. All right, fine. All right, good. Right, so good. So there's a general concept, a machlokes, in all of halacha. Mitzvah, strichos, kavana, instructs. When you do a mitzvah, do you have to have kavana? Now, by the way, what's the definition of kavana? What does kavana mean? Did I not call anyone yet? Good.
Concentration,
good. What is concentrate on what? Excellent. By the way, that's actually an excellent definition. In Kavana itself, Chavra, there are different levels of Kavana. There could be Kavana that, like, I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do this mitzvah because of X, Y, and Z. Or there could also just be what we call situational Kavana, which means I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. Maybe I know why I'm doing it, or I don't know what I'm doing it, but I'm concentrating on doing it. So let me ask, in general, how do we paskin? Do mitzvahs require Kavana or not? In general, do mitzvos require kavana or not?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All the time?
Yeah.
So, let's be clear. In an ideal world, you would always have kavana when you do mitzvos. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, Chanoch, what are you going to say?
I can do a mitzvah without knowing that I'm doing a mitzvah.
Right.
Or without necessarily thinking of kavana in that moment.
Excellent. So the truth is, there's the ideal, like the lechatchila, and the bidyavad. The lechatchila is, of course, everything we do should be filled with kavana at all times. The bidyavad is, technically speaking, if you do a mitzvah, and you don't have kavana, you're still yotze. Right? So for the mitzvah. By the way, what's the exception to this rule? What, give me an example of a mitzvah that, if done without kavana, you would not be yotze. A mitzvah without kavana, you're not yotze. See what I'm going to say?
Shema.
So Shema is a good example. Shema is one of those mitzvahs where you have to have kavana because the whole essence of Shema is Kabbalah's old machush and the acceptance of Hashem as my God. If I don't have kavana, I'm not following the mitzvah. Good. What else? Another example.
Shmona Esrei.
Excellent. Ideally, at least the beginning of it. Good.
Hearing Havdalah.
Why do you say hearing Havdalah?
You have to have in mind that you're
going to be Shema. Oh, excellent. Shema. Fancy. All right. Shema Kona. Excellent. The truth is, busy saying good, that might be true at any time you're being yosei with someone else. Excellent.
Bris mila.
Great. Wow, you guys are good. All right, Baruch Hashem. Chanoch? Wow. Beautiful. I didn't even think about all these. That's fantastic. I was great. Mechila cannot be done without kavana. Excellent. Good.
Pesach Matzmar.
Great. Okay. So, guys, excellent. Let me just say what I was actually thinking about. Okay, you guys are much more ahead of me. I was thinking actually of a concept of misasik. Let me give you an example. There's a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on your doorway, right? When you put up the mezuzah, do you have to have kavana that you're doing it because Hashem told you to do it? Do you have to have kavana like that? No. Let me ask a fun question. Imagine for a second I'm holding mezuzah in my hand. I trip. I fall, lose my balance. I catch my balance putting my hand on the threshold of... All right, let me illustrate it like this. All right, imagine for a second. Again, I'm walking in. I trip, okay? And imagine I'm holding the mezuzah on my hand. And I already took off the back adhesive. I slip, right? I'm like, oh, I catch myself like that. And it happens to be incredible. I put the mezuzah on exactly where it needs to be. Am I going to see the mitzvah? Am I yotzei mitzvah? What do you think? Am I yotzei the mitzvah?
No.
Why not? Right. So that is a concept called misasik. Misasik is a concept in halacha that if you didn't even have kavanah to perform the act, but the act just kind of occurred on its own, then at the end of the day, you're not yotzei. So interesting enough, in that case, I would actually have to take the mezuzah off and put it back on with some basic kavanah for the mitzvah of mezuzah. Why am I sharing with you all this? Because interestingly enough, although we normally paskin that halacha lemaisa, that practically speaking, mitzvos do not require kavana, and as long as you do it and you perform the behavioral or mechanistic details, you're yotzei, there's an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule is when the Torah itself gives you a reason for a mitzvah, you're supposed to have in mind that reason. Now we get back to our Gemara. Torah tells us we sit in the sukkah. Now, why does the Torah tell us we sit in the sukkah? Why does the Torah tell us? Right? Because you saw the pasuk in the Gemara. What does the Torah say? Why do we sit in the sukkah? Correct. Kiba sukkos hoshavtis b'nei Yisrael. Because Hashem housed us in sukkos when we were in the desert. So now, let's go back one more time. What's a sukkah? Or? Right. So now you see, by the way, boys, by this Gemara, it's not just seemed like an interesting machlokas. This is a necessity because when I walk into the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, I'm supposed to really have kavanah. I'm supposed to have in mind why I'm doing this. So what am I having in mind? Am I having in mind clouds? Am I having in mind huts? Yes, Susie? Good. By the way, beautiful. The truth is, the simple etza is both. Just have in mind that whatever the reason is, either it's because of actual huts or because of clouds of glory, that's why I'm sitting in the sukkah. So by the way, you are absolutely correct. And bottom line, the post can bring down that in fact, when you sit in the sukkah, specifically on the first night, you should have in mind for both. That it's both to remember the fact that we lived in huts for 40 years, which is pretty miraculous. By the way, is living in huts for 40 years pretty miraculous also, or is it just the clouds that are miraculous? What would you say? Both. All right, both. Why?
The fact that like huts.
Right, I'm just saying huts, first of all, that you could build a hut that's going to, desert has some pretty extreme conditions as well. So that's pretty miraculous both ways. So that's the kavan I have. Good. So chavar now. Okay, so now we understand at least why we're sitting in the sukkah. One of two reasons, machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Good. What's then the next question that comes up regarding the Yom Tov of Sukkot? This was the question brought up by the Mishnah Berurah. Technically speaking, when do we observe a Yom Tov? Right, when do we observe a Yom Tov? When the event occurs. What's the question?
Why do we celebrate Sukkot like the Ananya covenant and the huts happened when we left
Mitzrayim? Excellent. Remember, Sukkot, like Pesach, is related to Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Is related to leaving Egypt. Chavra, when did we leave Egypt?
Nisan.
What date on Nisan? Yudalit is when we got ready to leave. Excellent. And we actually left the 15th, Tesvav. So, what's the Mishnah Berurah's question? Why do we celebrate in Tishrei? Why not celebrate ultimately again in Nisan? I know I didn't give you enough time. Anyone get to the Mishnah Berurah's answer as to why we go ahead and celebrate in Tishrei?
Because in spring, feel like most people, like non-Jews, they would go outside with their huts.
Excellent. Excellent. Because the problem is, if we celebrated Sukkot in Nisan, where the weather is beautiful, everybody, again, there's no great kunz, as they say, with sitting outside. Everyone likes to sit outside anyway. And so it wouldn't be apparent that you are performing a mitzvah. So therefore, we read in Tishrei. By the way, why? In Tishrei, what is Tishrei? What season is Tishrei?
It's cold.
It's cold, it's winter, beginning of fall, beginning of the rainy season, right? Again, so it's not always the most pleasant time to sit outside. So therefore, if you are sitting outside in Tishrei, what's the only reason you're sitting outside?
For the Mitzvah
Sukkah. Okay, now have to watch this. Get ready for this. That answer works well if you understand that the Mitzvah of Sukkah is related to which remembrance? Take a step back, right? So, in other words, the fact that we celebrate the Yom Tov of Sukkot in Tishrei as opposed to Nisan makes sense if you say that Sukkah is an actual hut. Then again, huts, I'm building a hut. And therefore, again, I want to go into my hut at a time that's clear that I'm performing the mitzvah. If it's Nisan, the weather is too nice, I go in Tishrei, beginning of the rainy season. But Chavar, let me ask you this question. If you hold, like Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Eliezer, that Sukkah is for Anane HaKavod, then why celebrate Sukkot in the month of Tishrei? You hear the question? I'm sorry? Because at least by Anane HaKavod, if it's remembrance of the Anane HaKavod, why, in other words, then this truth is the hut is almost like an inconstant, it's just a Zecher. If it's just a zecher, then why not do it at the actual time? In other words, if it's Sukkos Mamish, so then again, the sukkah itself is actually a reconstruction of what was. So if that's the case, then the ma'isa makes sense. Do it Nisan, do it Tishrei, not Nisan. If it's a Nani HaKavod, and it's just the whole thing is just symbolic to begin with, why not do the symbolism in the right time?
Maybe it won't be symbolic.
So Pashat could be, actually, it could be that maybe the symbolism would be lost if it's Nisan, because then it doesn't look like any symbolism anyway. It looks like you're just going out to have a nice time. Good. I'm sure that's good. That's probably the Pashat answer. Absolutely. I'll share with you something very interesting. Let's take a step back for just a second. If you look at the timeline, now we're going with the opinion that Sukkah is not a hut, but rather that Sukkah ultimately is Anani HaKavod. Whose opinion was that? Whose opinion?
Rabbi
Eliezer. Excellent. So now watch this. Let's take a step back, Chavra. A lot of very important things happen in the month of Tishrei, right? Remember, what Yom Tov did we just finish? What Yom Tov? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is what date? What date on the calendar?
Yom Tishrei.
Excellent. Now, Chavra, why is Yom Kippur, this is going to sound like a strange statement, what event made Yom Kippur a meaningful day? What occurred on Yom Kippur that made it meaningful? What occurred in Yom Kippur that made it meaningful?
Moshe came back down.
Excellent. Excellent. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second set of Luchos, right? Ultimately, remember, what happened to the first set of Luchos? Destroyed. Why?
Because he came down and he saw the eagle.
Excellent. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, sees the eagle, destroys, right? When did Moshe Rabbeinu come down with the first set of Luchos? Let's just get our timeline straight. When did Moshe Rabbeinu come down with the first set of Luchos? Who knows? First set of Luchos. Shiv Aser B'Tammuz, excellent. So Shiv Aser B'Tammuz, ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, breaks the first set of Luchos. What happens after that?
When does he go back up?
Anyone know? When does he go back up? We're getting a whole bunch of Jewish history in here also. Right, when did he go back up? He goes back up, Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's one of the reasons why we blow shofar beginning Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, they blew the shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain for how many days?
40 days.
So if you start Rosh Chodesh Elul and you go 40 days forward, what date do you come out on? Take a wild guess. You just said it.
Yom Kippur.
So watch this. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Kippur. Now, Chavra, let's skate. So hold that for just a second. When Klal Yisrael built the golden calf, when we built the Egel, what were the repercussions for building? What was the punishment for building the Egel?
Everyone who did it died.
Everyone who actively participated, or even someone passively participated, died. Good. What else happened?
They lost the Luchos.
Excellent. What else happened? Hashem wanted to abandon us. Did he?
No.
But something did happen. Something did abandon us. Anyone know what? Excellent. Number one, the Bechorim lost the right to serve the base, which actually was transferred over to Shevet Levi. Excellent. We also lost the Anane HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod left Klal Yisrael as a result of the building of the ego. So now watch this, okay? So there's no Anani HaKavod now. No Anani HaKavod. Okay, get ready. One more time. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on which day? Which day? Which day? Yo, right. He goes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Good. Comes back down on? Comes at Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is what day of the month again? Yud. Excellent. Have a watch this. I didn't give you this, Ma'amakom, but listen to this. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on day number 10. On the 11th of Tishrei, what begins? 11th of Tishrei, Klal Yisrael begins to build something. What did we begin to build? Mishkan, right? First actually a couple hundred years later, right? First, right? Mishkan. So the construction of the Mishkan begins on the 11th. Okay, keep the timeline here. Listen to this. The pasuk says, if you're going to build a building, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Fundraise. Yeah, Yosef knows. He's part of my show. He knows. You need money, right? You need guilt. You need a lot. So what happens? They fundraise. But here was a great miracle. How long did the entire fundraising process of the Beis HaMikdash actually take place? How did it go on? How long did it go on for? So listen to this. The pasuk says that they brought before Moshe everything they raised. Vehem heviu elav od nedava baboker. Chazal tell us, this is wild. The entire fundraising process for the Mishkan took 2 days. So watch this. One more time. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on which day? Let's go through the time. Which day does he come down on? Which day? Yud. Right? Announcement for the Beis HaMikdash takes place on? The 11th. Fundraising takes place on? 12th and 13th. On the 14th, ultimately, again, they stop the fundraising and everything is complete. The first day in which, again, they didn't build the Mishkan yet, but the first day in which the entire fundraising process was complete for the Mishkan. The Luchos are down. Klal Yisrael is returned to what it was before, was the 15th of Tishrei. Chevra, what date is the 15th of Tishrei? Sukkis. Chazal tells, do you know what returned back on the 15th of Tishrei? The Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod. So an incredible, incredible idea that when, one more time, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on the 10th, puts out the call to build the Mishkan on which day? On which day? The 11th. They fundraise on which days? 12 and 13. On the 14th, Moshe Rabbeinu says, enough, we have more than enough. And the 15th of Tishrei, Klal Yisrael was restored back to what we were before the Chet HaEgel, and the Anane HaKavod returned. So do you want to know why we, in addition to what the Mishnah Berurah says about why we observe Sukkis in the month of Tishrei as opposed to Nisan? Yes, because if you go out in Nisan, it doesn't look like you're going out for religious observance. It just looks like you're going out because it's nice to sit outside. There's something amazing. The 15th of Tishrei was also the day that what returned? What returned? The Anani HaKavod. Exactly. So especially according to the opinion who holds, like Rabbi Eliezer, that Sukkis is Anani HaKavod, the actual clouds. The incredible thing is we observe Sukkis Mamish on the exact date when thousands of years ago the Anani HaKavod returned to us. What an incredible and overwhelming idea. So this year, Meretz Hashem, when you go into your Sukkis on the first night, when is Sukkis? Shabbos night, Friday night, first night of Sukkis, when you go in. So remember again, do we have to have Kavanah when we sit in our Sukkah? Do you have to have Kavanah? Yeah, yes. Yeah, we say brachas, right? Have Kavanah. What do you have Kavanah for? Why are you sitting in the Sukkah? Why are you sitting in the Sukkah? Another Kavanah, or the actual Hatz, right? Either Sukkos Mamish, right? Either Sukkos Mamish, because it says in the Torah, right? We observe, in other words, I have to have Kavanah for Sukkah, because the Kashbar was asking for Sukkos HaShavti. Why am I sitting in the Sukkah? Either to remember the Hut, or to remember the Anani HaKavod. If it's the Hatz, why am I sitting here in the middle of Tishrei, as opposed to Nisan? Why? Correct. To show that I'm not out here for my own enjoyment here. I'm out here to go ahead and, because Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to. And if it's for Anani HaKavod, then why am I sitting here in the middle of Tishrei? Why? Because that's when the Anani HaKavod returned. And Chevra, listen to this. With this, I'm going to conclude. This is also so beautiful, the way that Sukkis fits in after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of tshuva. And sometimes, you know, when we do tshuva, you know, think about it just a second. When you do tshuva, what is the great unknown? Right? We hopefully all had a beautiful Yom Kippur. What's kind of like the question that's still going on in your mind a little bit?
Didn't your sins get forgiven?
Was I forgiven? Was I really forgiven or not? Like, did it work? And what the Yom Tov of Sukkot comes along is Yom Tov of Sukkot is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you're forgiven. If you do tshuva b'leiv shalom, if you do tshuva with a complete heart, then yes, at the end of the day, one is forgiven. Sincere tshuva always meets with forgiveness. And that's the beauty of Sukkot. The same way that our ancestors, after building the golden calf, right, yet they were given forgiveness on the 15th of Tishrei with the return of the Anani HaKavod. If our tshuva is sincere as well, the Ribono Shel Olam is only too eager to enter back into our lives as well. So, Chevra, it's been a great Zchus Baruch Hashem Torah with all of you. I wish you a beautiful, beautiful time off. Enjoy your vacation. One request. I know all of your Rebbeim are giving you different incentive programs. Boys, Baruch Hashem, the one thing you should make sure to do over vacation, one thing you should make sure to do is have fun. That's the first thing. You should relax and you should have fun. But Baruch Hashem, the day is long and you should spend the majority of it relaxing and having fun. But my only request is, make sure, of course, Emir Tashem, whenever possible, to daven with a minyan. It's always a great zchus Baruch Hashem. Tefillah is always beautiful, but davening with a minyan always carries with it a very special opportunity. And even if you daven, I think even now, Baltimore, you can even find, yeah, so can you find the shacharis at 10 o'clock in the morning here? You probably can, at least.
I can stay.
Okay, so, again, good. So, plenty of time, even late shacharis. Don't worry about Zmani Tefillah. It's okay. You know, whenever you can get a minyan, go ahead and daven. And boys, also just carve out a little bit of time to learn. Even 15, 20 minutes a day. And whatever you're going to learn, you're going to do chazara for your Rebbe. You're going to pick up a book off the shelf. We're going to try to put out some recorded stuff also on the YMC announcements chat. Just carve out a little bit of time. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great time. Rest. Regroup a little bit. It's important. You work hard during the year, so you should have fun and a lot of fun. But along with all of that fun, Baruch Hashem, a little bit of davening, a little bit of learning will allow you to keep the beautiful spiritual momentum that you've started this year. It's been an incredible start to you, and I have to give you boys an incredible yashar koach. I want to thank you because each of you have contributed to the beautiful atmosphere in the yeshiva so far. It's just the beginning of the year, but it's been fantastic. Let's keep the energy going. Keep your energy going. In the midst of all the fun, all the relaxation, carve out a little bit of time to dive and a little bit of time to learn. Boys, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful Sukkot. Make enjoy the rest of your day. Get Yantif.
9:48. Right now? 9:48. 9:48.